So we're nearing the end of our spiritual gift series. And the whole point of us going through this, we are embracing that we believe that God has imparted the spiritual gifts, not just for the early church, but for today. Amen? I believe it with my whole heart. And if you look over the course of the American church over the past 30 years and you see the decline and you understand what is kind of going on in our church culture, you know that many of them have abandoned the Holy Spirit. And as a result, you have the world that can't witness the power of God in the lives of his people because they're ignoring the work of the Holy Spirit. And so God is calling us as a church, he's calling us to rise up, embrace that he has given these gifts even for today, and he wants to use us, but we have to step out in faith and knowing that he can use us. And some of you don't feel qualified for that. If you don't feel qualified that Jesus Christ died for you, I got nothing for you because he did. And there's nothing that separates you and me from having right to have the blood of Jesus Christ cover you. It's the same with the giftings. God wants to use people who humble themselves before him and just submit to him. And so he is calling you out. And so we're going through these 9 gifts, and it is a goal that you desire these gifts. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says, let love be your highest goal. Let what be your highest goal? Love. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. There's an important lesson that when we started in this series in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul illustrates that if the church is the body of Christ, if all of us represent the singular body of Christ, each and every member here, that there are specific members within the body that have a specific purpose or function. And the point is that each and every one of us have a role to play, and the way that God distributes his spiritual gifts and talents makes every member important. So when you are not here or you are not entering in and you contribute in some way, the church feels it a loss. Do you understand? That's why I was sharing with our prayer team this morning. I said, you know, every time I go through summer, when we approach summer, I'm really excited for it. I'm really excited for summer. But in the church world, by the time summer's over, I am so ready to be done with summer because guess what? We are so often apart as a body. And I'm just like, I hate that part of it because here we are, we were in the church and we were seeing tons of new people come in this last winter into spring. And we saw the Spirit of God moving where people were coming down to the altar. They were accepting Christ right in the middle of worship. Like not even a word had been spoken. It was just what was singing and the Spirit of God was moving and people were falling on their face before the Lord. We were seeing the infilling of the Holy Spirit take place in people's lives. Then summer came. And I remembered being so excited for summer. Now I'm like, man, I'm done with summer. Because all of us together, it's an integral part, being unified together, focused on the things of God, not what's going on the grill after church. Here's the danger of fall. What time your football team is playing on Sundays, right? That starts next week. You know, those are all the things that we can tend to focus on when the reality is that everything, as if we are believers, everything inside of us should be like the pinnacle of our week should be when the believers gather together. It should be. It's so important that we don't just settle or hope that someone else will step up in these giftings, but that God will impart to you how you can contribute and display his power. And so to me, the time to respond to the Spirit moving in your life is right now. It's so easy to say, well, you know, I need to get my act together in certain areas of my life, or maybe I still feel pretty immature and I lack knowledge, and so I'm just going to let someone else step up. You know what? What I have found is that when God burdens you with something, he's doing it for a reason. He's doing it because he is stirring up in your heart to press into that thing. I've had so many times people come up to me and say, Pastor, the church should be doing this. And I'm going to interpret what they're saying. Pastor, you should be doing this. And I'll say, you know what? It sounds like God has blessed you with this burden for this thing. And I want to support you in that. And I am telling you, 99 times out of 100, you don't hear another word out of them. And that's not the goal. The goal is that they step into this thing that God has burdened them with, and that the church rallies behind that, right? God didn't impart that to me. He imparted that to them. Well, it's going to be the same thing with these giftings. I want you to understand that, because the church needs you to desire these gifts, and we need you to contribute in using these gifts. And so when God starts to do a work in you, it's time for you to start stepping out in faith and operating in it. It's time. I want you to listen to what Paul instructs Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. He says, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you." Now, this is Paul speaking specifically to Timothy, but there is great instruction for each and every one of you in this. I'm going to start over verse 14. "Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you." Did you see Paul use the phrase, "throw yourself into tasks"? That's in the NLT. In the New King James, it says, "give yourself entirely to them." In the NASB, it says, "take pains with these things, be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all." In the English Standard Version, it says, "practice these things, immerse yourself in them." Here's the point. Take using what God has given you seriously. Be all in. Say, I'm not just going to be half in. I'm not just going to, you know, when I feel comfortable or when I feel right with it, to choose to be all in. And when it pertains to the spiritual gifts, I encourage people who are stepping out for the first time, do it in the presence of those who can instruct and correct when necessary. And I, as the pastor of this church, I want to tell you that you have permission to learn. Okay? So don't reject correction, amen? But you have permission to learn, which means at times when we are learning, who knows, we need to be corrected. So you kind of embrace that. No one is perfect, but I know the one who is. And so I am redirected all the time. Aaron, you got to keep your eyes focused on the Lord here. So we have to make Jesus Christ our aim. And listen, each and every one of us, we're going to find times where we fall short. But if we have a heart that is open to correction and willing to keep pressing forward, God can use that time and time and time again. Today we're going to talk about something that, I'm going to be honest with you, was a challenge of a sermon to write. But I looked at it and I said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to write it anyways. It's the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment. I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, and it says, he gives one person the power to perform miracles, another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. Paul actually expounded on the spirit of discernment earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. He says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. Now, this doesn't give the whole picture to discernment, but what I really want to do is I want to lay this out for you because I believe that this is another one of those giftings, and it kind of parallels with wisdom a little bit, that this is something that God wants to pour out on his people because it is so critical that we recognize when it's God's Spirit moving and it's the Spirit of something else. I'm going to pray. Father God, I just ask that, Lord, we will open up ourselves to you and your Spirit and what you want to pour out. And God, I just pray that, Lord, we come to your throne, Lord, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over our lives, that sacrifice that was done for us. And so, Lord, the remission of sin has taken place because we have claimed that blood. And Lord, we sit before you, we kneel before you undefiled, God, because of your Son. And so, Lord, each and every one of us, we claim that right now. And, Lord, we claim that ultimate gift that you gave us through your Son, Jesus Christ. But, Lord, furthermore, you have poured your Holy Spirit out upon your people. And, God, the way you display your power to the world is through us. And so, God, today we are claiming, Lord, your best, your gifts that you bestow. And, God, I pray for a hungry, desirous people in this church. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. So we're gonna start out by defining discernment. And I did just kind of allude to, it does parallel some things about wisdom and gaining wisdom through the Spirit. Some have defined the gift of discernment as the process of attentive listening to all of the wisdom that the Lord is giving us throughout the day. Now, I will say, it is much more than that, but we are starting somewhere, right? So listen to Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. Solomon says, does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice on the heights beside the way? At the crossroads she takes her stand, and beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. I want to tell you something. In understanding what he is saying here, discernment is so much more than intuition or picking up on cues. Listen, I can be in a social setting and I can discern when it's time to leave, right? For instance, Wendy and I, a couple years ago, we were getting ready to go on a cruise and we spent a couple days in Seattle. And I don't know if anyone has been to Seattle in the past 5 years, but Seattle's a mess. Seattle's an absolute disaster. And down in the touristy areas, and I'm sure every one of you have probably seen at some point on TV, Pike Place Market, where they throw the fish across the market and there's someone else that catches it. And we're down by Pike Place Market. And all over the street, there are homeless doing drugs right there on the street. Like, you can't miss it. And I didn't know which side to walk beside my wife on, street side or building side, because of everything that was going on. And we were walking down there. And listen, I'm a cop's kid, right? So I'm comfortable around police. But we're walking down there, and I saw what seemed to be about 15 to 20 squad cars and then police walking all over. And we had been down there the day before, and there wasn't that kind of police presence. And I looked at her, and I said, something's not right. I don't want to be here. And we just went a different direction. We got out of there. That kind of discernment, I don't say that's spiritual discernment. That's reading what's going on, right? We're talking about something so much deeper. Spiritual discernment requires that we have the spiritual capacity to distinguish between God and the demonic. That's ultimately what it comes down to. When we're talking about imparting the spiritual gift of discernment, it requires that we look to the Lord and we see the world with His perspective. The scholar Nguyen said, discernment involves listening to the still small voice beneath the rush of the whirlwind, a prayerful practice of reading the subtle signs in daily life. I believe that discernment is a gift that we need if we're going to go into spiritual battle. We need it. Last week, we talked about the threat of false teachers. And many of Paul's writings have warnings against false teachers and those who would try to pull the church away from the truth. And our reality is that Satan is actively working to deceive and manipulate people to pull them away from the truth and a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And he is using false teaching to do that. Because we think that we're getting into right relationship with the Lord, but every now and then we hear something that kind of sounds biblical, but it's a little off. And we're like, but my flesh likes that. I like hearing that. And I want to caution you because people don't just wake up one day and decide, you know what, I am going to try and trick people into believing something that's not biblical. People don't do that, right? False teaching is subtle. It's comfortable enough that it feels biblical, but our human nature welcomes its word because it feels good. Charles Spurgeon said, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between right and almost right. The idea of someone can pick apart something in Scripture that feels good, but then they run with it, forgetting the context, forgetting how it fits in with the Word of God. And so, church, it is so important for you to know what is of God and what is not of God. What's God's perfection and what misses His perfection? Because in today's world, we have to have the ability to discern the spirits. The Apostle Paul, there's a story in the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul displayed the gift of discernment in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 19. I'm going to read this story. I want you to listen. One day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting. Listen to what she shouted. These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved. Now, I want to stop right there. The words that she said, were they true? Do we read them and we say, those words are good? On the surface, yes, we read them and we say, that is good. What's the problem with it? I want to keep reading. Verse 18, this went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. Something that is challenging as a pastor is knowing that things that appear good and they're still of the wrong spirit. Because you can have a church body that doesn't see it. They don't get it. And yet you're seeing it and you're seeing how it's manipulating people. And there have been times that we in services, there's someone who thinks they're contributing to the service by the way they speak out and the way that they contribute. And sometimes they are being disruptive and don't even know it. And then comes the correction. And one time, I'm thinking of one time specifically, the recognition that it is of a demonic spirit. And so we don't know that sometimes even if we are walking in and of our flesh, that we can be manipulated by the enemy. We can be manipulated by Satan. Peter was when he was telling Jesus that surely he wouldn't let him die for him. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." How do you think Peter received that in that moment? He's like, "Oh, man, he just called me the devil." But that wasn't of the Spirit of God. That wasn't of the Spirit of God that Peter was speaking, right? And so Paul here, even though what she's saying is true, she is stopping them from doing ministry to other people. And he recognized the spirit that it was of. And he commanded to leave her in Jesus' name. Just reading the words of that girl at face value, it seems so good. And here's the thing, Paul didn't know the girl, so he needed supernatural discernment that only comes from the Lord. And church, I want to tell you something. Satan aims to disrupt the move of the Spirit of God. And I pray against it every Sunday morning. Here's the thing about Satan. He can't stop God. Let me say that again. Satan can't stop God. Amen? Now, the story I just used, by the way, about being disrupted in the service, that doesn't stop you from saying amen and agreeing with when the word of God is spoken, okay? That's important to discern. But Satan, as much as he can't stop God, he can stop people. He can't stop people. He can confuse people. He can deceive them from connecting with God. And so it's important that we desire this gift of discernment to recognize when Satan is on the attack, and that when God's Spirit is moving, that we know the difference. I want to talk about discernment's impact. Because when you live with discernment, it affects the way you live. For the better. Discernment, it guards us from being deceived. That's so important. That's so vital for us that we're not tricked by maybe what the enemy is trying to do against us. It protects us from being blown by the winds of teaching. For example, I alluded to this a minute ago, but scripture can be manipulated and taken out of context. Some teachers, they make things seem biblical because they are quoting scripture. I challenge you, I haven't said this in a while, but anything that I preach, and you guys know I use a lot of scripture, anything I preach, you better be willing to take home and make sure it lines up biblically with what's being taught. Don't just take my word for it. Listen, I'm as human as you are. Every now and then, I'm prone to say something pretty stupid. Right? So you have to make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you what a lot of teachers do, and this is why there's a lot of TV preachers or people that you can listen to on podcasts that I really don't like, because they can take an idea in Scripture. It's right there in Scripture. But it's this peripheral idea, and they make it the central theme to the gospel. And it's presented that that is the central purpose of Scripture and what God wants to do in your life. I've got a great example for all of you that lived through the late 90s, early 2000s. The prayer of Jabez. Talk about the way Satan can manipulate Scripture. This idea of a ridiculous amount of prosperity that is able to be obtained by all of God's people. And I'm not talking about prosperity that brings us into eternity. I'm talking about prosperity that people were grabbing a hold of what God could do in their life today. And I had never been more turned off by this than one day at Bible college. They brought in this speaker, and he was the president of YWAM at the time. I know his name, but I'll leave that out. And he was talking about all the ways that God has blessed him. And he's talking about, you know what? I got this vehicle. I've been praying for a vehicle. I got a vehicle, but the vehicle, I didn't like it. So I learned to pray differently. So he prayed for a Land Rover. And he got a brand new Land Rover. And then he told us this story that he's a guitar player and he loved guitars and he'd been praying that God would bless him. And there's a guy in his life that owned a music store and he said, come in and take whatever you want. And he said, I took 12 different guitars. I took, Wendy, I think you were there for that. I mean, I there's witnesses that this guy was encouraging that God just wants to exponentially bless you with stuff here on earth. And I'm like, man, you're missing it. You're missing the mark. Because when I read the New Testament, God calls us to a life of suffering with Christ. And I'm like, these two things don't go together. It doesn't mix with the Word of God. You've taken one little verse in Scripture and you said, let's apply that to everybody. That's not the way God works. It's not. And we can so easily shape Scripture to believe that we're at the center of God's universe, and that is dangerous. God didn't create you because he had to. He created you because he wanted to. And he created you because he wanted to make something in his image that he could do life with. God doesn't need you, but he wants you. Embrace that. We are not at the center of God's universe, but Jesus can be at the center of ours. Okay, that's the gospel that I embrace. Discernment, number two, it acts as an instrument of healing when exercised in grace. And there are so many times that it is easy for us to just rush to judgments, but it's to discern what God is doing in someone's life. Take, for instance, that you are ministering to someone. Who knows that sometimes we want to cut the cord and sometimes it's a little too soon when they're needy. And part of discerning something is executing a judgment, but it's not judgment on our own accord, but it's judgment based off of what God is speaking and what God is doing. And some people, and I don't have this ability, have the insight to diagnose the spiritual needs of others right away. They can see the need without it ever being spoken. And God gives them the ability that they can penetrate the heart issues that someone faces better than even the very person who's standing there can. Now, obviously, that kind of gifting, if used incorrectly, it's a dangerous gift, and it's easy to manipulate a vulnerable person. However, that when this gift is used in love, it can be so useful in what can bring someone spiritual healing. And so it's so important to be hearing God clearly and using it. I do believe that discernment is a key to Christian freedom, true freedom. There are so many undiscerning Christians who are, for lack of a better term, they're enslaved to learn through others, and they can't learn on their own. And it creates this dependence that we're going to lean on everyone else for understanding, and yet at the same time, we're only connecting to God through other people. And true growth and discernment, it sets us free from that need that we can embrace God for who he is in our life and learn on our own. Where we can look to the Word of God ourselves to determine whether it's something biblical and of God. Then rest on others' understanding. The fourth thing, discernment is a catalyst for spiritual development. I want you to listen to Proverbs 14:6. It says, a scoffer seeks wisdom in vain, but knowledge is easy for a man of understanding. And that understanding is that, you know what? I don't remember every chapter and verse of the Bible. I can tell you that if you are looking for the central theme of almost every chapter in the Bible, I can give you almost every central theme. But to break down what everything says exactly, I can't do that. But the more I've opened up to the things of God and the more I've discerned what is of his spirit and what is not of his spirit, I believe a discerning believer can go to the heart of the matter and they can connect things with what is of the word of God, what is truth, what is good, and then what is of Satan. And so when something is spoken, oftentimes, if it's not of God, I get this quick check in my spirit. I'm like, I don't know about that. And then I go and dive into the Word of God. And so as we pour ourselves into the Word and we increase in knowledge of what the Word of God says, we become less frustrated by, first of all, understanding the Word of God. And we become in harmony with God and how He is instructing us. Now I'm going to tell you, there is no greater model of discernment than Jesus displayed. There is no greater model. If we just look at one account of the disciples, they're on the road to Emmaus. And if you don't know that story, the road to Emmaus is that Jesus, he had died, he had rose again, and he wasn't fully active in the disciples' life at this moment. He was revealing himself to them. And the disciples, they're walking down this road, and he just appears out of nowhere walking next to the disciples on this road, but he didn't fully reveal his identity. The scripture, in fact, it says their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And they're walking along, they're having this discussion concerning his crucifixion and all that was being said after he had been crucified. And they told him about some arguments about what has happened to his body and what the common belief was. Now listen to Jesus' response in Luke 24, 25 through 33. It says, and he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures. Listen, as he was using God's word to explain to them, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. So notice, the moment they recognized him, he disappeared. But listen to what their response was. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Church, spiritual discernment, it's often a process where with Jesus, everything is fully revealed, and it checks in your spirit, and it burns within your spirit, and you know it's of the Spirit of God. But trust and know that the more you open yourself up to him, the more you allow God to speak and his truth and his word to be revealed, it's going to burn inside of you. That when things are of the Spirit of God, you sense it, you feel it, you know it. That's discernment. And it's the Spirit of God that awakens us and gives us knowledge. And God always confirms through Scripture, even in discernment. That's the way he operates. And some of you are saying, well, Pastor, maybe I have this gifting. I don't know. I think there are ways to identify it. You know, some spiritual gifts seem pretty obvious. For instance, if there was tongue and interpretation in our service, we're like, hey, that's tongue and interpretation. They have that gift, right? Or if we see someone with the gift of healing, that's pretty obvious. Now, the gift of discernment, it isn't as obvious to others as it is with the one that has the gifting. But here are four ways we can identify discernment. The first is, and this might sound like you might not be able to connect the dots right away on this, but it's love. We begin with our core identity is that we are a beloved child of God and he loves us. That's one of the most foundational principles to moving in the Spirit of God. Knowing that you are a child of God is to be completely open to him and willing to be fully seen by Jesus. I want you to hear that again because this is so important to apply. We need to be completely open and willing to be fully seen by Jesus. There might be parts of your life you don't like in the presence of God. And so a key component to walking in the Spirit of God is to say, there is no part of my life that he can't be a part of. That I want to fully be seen by him. That I choose to represent him well in all areas of my life. And I will fight for this relationship. Where you choose to willfully bring him into every aspect. And that embraces true love. Listen, I didn't marry Wendy because I just wanted to hang out with her on the weekends. Okay? Because I want her in my life all the time. Every moment. Right? You don't invite Jesus in to hang out with him on the weekends. You invite him in because you want him in your life every moment. And so it is so unfair if we say, you know what? Every part of my life, but not that part. That's not a right relationship. You don't want that with your spouse. And if we truly believe that what Jesus Christ offers is true salvation, our spouse can't offer that. It's a love that requires deeper understanding than we have at surface level. That's the relationship God wants with you, is that he's a part of every aspect of your life. It's deep. And true love, it is togetherness. It's not abandonment. So knowing God is always with you and inviting him in. Because that's a choice. I say it often, God's a gentleman. There are times where God invades on our behalf. But for the most part, with awareness of who Jesus Christ is, God says, okay, let's see how serious they are about this relationship. Let's see if they'll pick up their cross and follow me daily. It's a commitment. It's a deep commitment. Second way we identify discernment is when people fall in alignment with God's character. We should be regularly focusing and meditating on the character of God and the characteristics of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes for prayer services, and we're going to be scheduling a prayer service here this fall, and prayer services, it's completely set apart from what we do here on Sunday mornings. And these prayer services, what they do, there's times where the Spirit of God is moving, and I say, okay, just one word, let's speak out God's character, and someone will say, mercy. Another will say, love. Another will say, compassion. And just speak to the character of who God is, right? Jealous. That's character of God. He's jealous for you. And so just constantly speaking over the character of God and seeing and identifying the character of God in people, but also the characteristics of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Those should be identified. And when you focus on those things, God will lead you in accordance with who he is. Because true wisdom from the Lord, it always consists with his nature, who he is. Listen to James 3:17. It says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. So church, we need to be open to examining our own impulses, our motives, and choose to discover what leads us to divine love and compassion for other people and shed off the things that are not of God. Say, I don't want that to be a part of who I am anymore. Third, trust. That we have trust in God. You know, if I said, who here trusts in God, almost virtually every hand would go up until you have a desperate situation. It's one thing to speak out, I trust in God. It's another thing to display that when difficulty arises, whether or not we truly trust, whether or not we say, listen, I understand you are the God of the universe. You created me. There's something greater that awaits me past this life. And I realized the moment I truly trusted God was when I no longer feared death. I was scared of my own shadow growing up, right? Like, I didn't want to do anything that had any inherent risk whatsoever. I'm like, no, someone died doing that a year ago. Now, like, you know, 40 million people have done that thing ever since, but there was that one idiot, and that's going to be me, right? And so I was just so convinced that I was always set up to die, and I didn't trust God enough with my life to die. Now, there's sometimes I look around what's going on in the world, I'm like, Lord Jesus, take me now, right? But I now trust God with my life. And church, we need to pray, we need to seek the Lord to give us wisdom and reveal to us what we need to see. So anything, any spiritual attack you're going through, any physical issues you're going through, that we see the need. Put your trust in knowing that God will lead you because the scriptures tell us that he will. So just embrace that. Listen to James 1, 6 through 7. It says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. I want you to digest what this verse is saying. Who's ever been in the ocean? You ever been on a floating device in the ocean? If you've been on something that floats and you see that it can take you everywhere you don't want to go, right? But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. I don't want to be pushed in the wrong direction. I want to trust. And so for that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. I trust that no matter what God brings me to, he's going to carry me through. And so I no longer accept that these stumbling blocks that are put in my path are meant for my destruction. God wants to use it. With that, you will be able to know what you can put your trust in and what you can't. That's the gift of discernment. Listen, I trust doctors to an extent, right? They don't know everything. Some of them think they do. They don't know everything. But my God does. My God does, and he knows what he's doing. Then humility. Number four, humility. You know, you and I, we do not have the ability to see with perfect clarity what the future holds. So what we have to do is we have to recognize our own human limitations so that with humility we pay attention to what the Spirit is saying and trust in what God is doing. Where we are open to the truth and we have the ability to be wrong, so we don't grasp what we believe to be from the Lord, but we hold our hand open. So instead of just saying, I think this is from God and I'm not going to let go of it. I've been around so many church people that have claimed things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and believed that it was going to come to fruition, and they had both hands grasping onto that thing saying, and I'm not going to let go. And it wasn't from God. They were just believing things that felt good and that they could justify in the Word of God. Instead, when something is presented to you that seems good, I encourage you, hold it with an open hand. Hold it with an open hand. Bring it before the Lord. I've got a great example of this. I was prophesied over at the age of 18. Seemed really good. And I could have taken it at face value, and you know what? God confirmed it was from him later on. But I could have just grabbed a hold of that thing. And I got to ask you, what if it wasn't from God? Because I've had many people speak over my life and it wasn't from God, right? One of those people who meant well for me and they spoke over my life, but it wasn't from God, I just completely grabbed a hold of and said, no, they said that I'm to go plant a church here. And then I go there and I do that and that thing fails. But clearly I'm going to blame God for that. That wasn't from God. So when you want to see if the Spirit of God is moving, something that is good for us to do is to say, God, if this is of you, I'm going to hold it open. The promises that you have, the things that I believe that you have for my future, the things that I think you want to do for me, I'm going to hold it open, and I'm going to allow you to confirm, and I'm just going to be obedient to you. I'm just going to step out, and I'm going to trust and know that, Lord, everything you have for me is good, and I'm going to do what your word asks me to do. And God, if this is from you, then you're going to see it through to where I'm not living and dying and hanging on every single word that is spoken over me or things that I believe about myself. Let God confirm it. And I think it's such an important distinction because so often there are things that you and I, we believe, or there's things we want to hear, or we don't take time to reflect on it. And maybe we need to discuss it with a mentor. Maybe we need to search Scripture. I'm going to tell you a story. Recently, I had someone in my office, and they told me that God was opening a door for them where they were going to do traveling missions for a year. And I had had this person in my office many times before, and they always had something else God was doing in their life. Now, all of a sudden, God's opened up this door for them to do traveling missions for a year. And I'm sitting there listening, and I can sense the Spirit behind it, and I instructed them that your desires are always shifting. This is not of God. And I instructed them with those things in mind, and part of discernment is, one, that we listen to the Spirit of God to make a judgment call, to speak into people's lives. And we need to humbly press into God and allow him to speak through us. Because church, in our own judgment, if I was just to use my own judgment, I can be wrong. And I can be wrong a lot. Right? But humility requires we don't rush to judgment, but let God speak. And other spiritual leaders we trust who have sought God also speak as well. And I know this is a very pinpointed sermon, something that is very specific. As we've been going through the spiritual gifts, we've been clear that listen, God's not going to impart all the gifts into one person. He does it in a way so that we need each other. But I believe that the closer we get to God, the more we discern the things that are of God. Amen? And so the closer that we press into the Lord, the more we discern what is of God and what is from the enemy. And I want to discern when that we as a church body, when we're missing the mark, and I want to discern when we're right on target. That when you and I, when we come together as a church, every discerning thought that I have is confirmed by what God is speaking and what he is doing in people's lives. Something I want to caution you on as I welcome up the prayer altar team. Pay attention to who God is putting in your life. Who is pointing you toward God. Pay attention to who Satan is putting in your life. And who is pulling you away from God. And that's where discernment starts. But church, I am telling you, the most important thing that we can do is say, God, I choose to press into the things of you. I choose to know and understand your word. God, if I have to go to others to learn it at first, so be it. But the more you open up yourself to the things of God, the more you will discern and understand. But we also need to pray for protection for ourselves from the onslaught of the enemy. And that's going to take spiritual discernment that oftentimes we don't have. We need God to impart that on us. More than anything, church, not just in the realm of discernment, I want us to desire the things of God. And so today, the prayer altar team, they're not standing here to say, hey, who wants the gift of discernment? Come up, be prayed for. That's not what they're here for today. They're here to stand in agreement with you that the Spirit of God wants to move upon your life, that you are going to commit to pressing into the things of God. And you say, God, I fully and willfully open up my life to you. I trust you with my life. I love you. And I want your best. So what I want you to do is